Hallelujah. How you doing? That's good. Hopefully you're doing good in Jesus. And by the end of the message, maybe a little bit better. Well, last time I spoke, it was about us having a new heart and a new spirit put within us, as it said in Ezekiel. And I basically mentioned that that had to do with the New Testament more than it had to do with Ezekiel's day. Even though Ezekiel was going through what we call the Babylonian captivity, and they were going to return to the land, yet God was going to do something mighty. He was going to bring them back. But this prophecy was a greater word to do more with the day of Jesus Christ that was coming in of the new covenant. And if I put this into practical terms, it's basically like this. If I want to sum it up, God's come to give us a new engine. Yay. So if you got your old automobile, our bodies, and our lives, basically bring it into the Jesus Christ shop and he'll give you a new engine. And he wants us to run our lives from now on with the new engine. And this new engine is powered with a new fuel source. So whatever your old fuel source was, stop thinking about it. Every day when you get up in the morning, I'm going to tell you right now, you are programmed to put the old gasoline in the car. From the day you're this high, going through high school, going to college, or going to whatever your job is, you're getting programmed by the world. You're getting programmed by the devil, too, to put the old fuel in there and to do the best you can to drive this automobile, because that's your job. But when you come to Jesus, something changes. And he gives us a new engine. But I want to talk about this, because in Genesis 2:17 it says this, something happened. Let's take a look at that. Now, God has put Adam and Eve on the planet, and he has the Garden of Eden, and he says this, there's two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you will surely die. Well, I don't know how long did Adam live to be according to Genesis. Anybody know? 930 years old. So if you believe in evolution, that makes no sense. But then again, if you believe that things started better at the beginning and got worse after, it might make sense. In other words, and actually the speed of light was probably almost to the speed of infinity, which is why it would have spread through the universe as fast as it did. There's scientific research that talks about that stuff. The speed of light being a constant was argued till the early 1900s. Just giving you some little tidbits there. But a 930 years old, but he said, in the day you eat it, you will die. So how come he didn't die? Because, folks, something did die. His spirit went into death mode. Death calm. The spirit within him died. Well, what was the spirit within him? It was the connectivity to God. It died. Now Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. Basically, it was good luck. Have a good life. All the best. Check in with me when you can. But you know, in a way, we picked it. And so when we're all born with that same spirit, which is a dead spirit, to be honest with you. And I'm not going to get into today talking about that as much as what I want to talk about, which is a different thing. But in Ezekiel, it says, I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. This was last time, Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Does anybody need a heart of flesh tonight? Does anybody feel they got a stony heart? When somebody cuts you off on the road or some other thing, you just don't do what you know you ought to do. I see a few smiles down there. It could be a light thing. It could be a heavy thing. But the stony heart, that's the old engine. And the old engine won't get you to your destination. You might say, well, where are we going? Well, Thank you for asking. Was I leading the jury? Maybe. But not completely, because I don't completely know where we're going. So why am I here? Because when God comes into your life, He's going to move you somewhere. He's going to move you into His plans and His purposes for you. It's not the same for me as it is for you, and yet in some ways it is the same. But you know what? Clayton gave a prophecy towards my sermon tonight. And without the Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see, we won't know where we're going. So tonight, this message is about the Holy Spirit. This message is about, in theological terms, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's more about the Holy Spirit than it is anything else. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10, it says this: "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." You want to ask me where you're going? That's the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now I must say this to you. I cannot tell you, because it says here, but God has revealed it to us. How? Through His Spirit, by His Spirit. That's as far as I want to go on that verse. We need the Holy Ghost to reveal the plans and purposes of God to us. We need to understand that He is the one that's going to move us into understanding God's way and God's plans for our lives, so that when we do get to the end of our life, Clayton, you said you're going to come to the end and you're going to feel like you didn't accomplish what you should have. By the time you get to the end, if you follow His plans and purposes, you've had a fulfilled life. Now, you might feel like a failure. You might feel like I didn't accomplish this or that I had planned. But you see, we get conflicted, Pastor. The old engine often is the first thing that starts up in the morning. Oh, it's so good to be a Christian. And then we drive down the road and then we don't realize we're still trying to do it on our own. We're still driving the old engine. It looks the same on the outside, but the inside. So God has come to put what within us? Which is a new what? A new engine. It's a new engine to drive your life. You don't have to go by the old engine anymore. You don't have to use the old fuel anymore. Well, Pastor, why do I need to get up in the morning and spend time with Jesus? Do you know? Why? Renewable fuel source. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost fuel source. If we don't spend that time with Him first thing in the morning, guess what we're doing? We're getting up. We got two keys hanging there. One key's the old engine. The other key's the new engine. And we're grabbing the old keys. It's okay, Jesus. I got it today. You take a rest, Jesus. I got this on my own. I mean, if you do it all the time, that's kind of humbling, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, if I got to rest and trust in You all the time, come on, that's just a little too much, isn't it? Or is it? Do we not need Him that much? Do we not need to rest and trust in Him that much to make it through life? Hallelujah. Gail said something along the same lines. If we get our eyes off Him, we start looking the wrong way or going too much our own way, we can be in trouble really fast. Amen? Well, I want to get to this scripture because this is the heart of my message. This is what spoke to me this week. John 3, 34 to 35. And here we see this. When Jesus came in to His ministry, He was around 30 years of age. And He went into the Jordan. John the Baptist, who was His cousin, was baptizing people in water. And Jesus went to be baptized. And He went down into the water and up again, praying, it says, and the Holy Spirit came on Him as a dove and rested on the Messiah. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God. This is speaking about Jesus. For what does John say? God does not give the Spirit by measure to him. The Father loves the Son, has given everything into his hand. Once again, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him, the things. And the Father loves the Son, given all things into his hand. For God does not give the Spirit by measure unto him. Are you willing to believe tonight that we can have a greater vision of God? Are you willing to believe that the Holy Spirit can show you things you've never thought possible before? Do you believe the Holy Ghost can give you eyes to see what you could not see? Because really, that was what Clayton's word was under prophetic unction was about. It's about just over the horizon. I can see something. And you know, we are dependent on the Spirit of God. Clayton didn't know what I'm preaching, and I didn't know he's going to say it. But I just know I want to come here, and Holy Ghost, can you get your will done? I'd rather you preach, Holy Spirit. I'd rather you take over. I'd rather you show us what it means that the Spirit was given without measure to you. And that so also, believe it or not, we can have such a portion of the Holy Ghost. But before I get to that, do you know what the word Christ in the Greek means? It's a Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah. And did you know that the Jews were waiting for the Messiah? They were waiting for the Savior coming through the line of David, one of his descendants. And he was going to sit on King David's throne and lead Israel back to victory. They were waiting for the Messiah. And do you know what that means in the Bible? It means anointed one. And every king of Israel was anointed, including David, was anointed with oil. But the greatest anointing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And did you know that at the Jordan, what did I say happened to Jesus? Who came down? That's right. And where did it go? It rested on Christ. It was a sign that he was receiving Spirit baptism himself in order to do his ministry. What a wonderful thing. And it says this, if you read Colossians 2, 9 to 10, look at this. For in Christ, or in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You're not complete anywhere else, by the way. You can try. You can look back to your past. You can look to your future. You can try to make something of your life, but without being in him, you are incomplete. In other words, your life and my life will only find a completion. There's that cheesy movie where it says, you complete me. But we will not have that completion. Actually, it's a pretty decent movie in a way. We will not have the completion without Jesus. You know what I mean? So here's the thing. Pastor said it this morning. He said it so easily. If you want all of what God has, you got to give him all of yourself. Well, what a piece of cake, eh? That's not easy, is it, at one level, to give him everything that we have. And you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.